Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
And hello, world.
You sound tired, Ed.
Very honest, by the time this recording, I've been doing interviews on radio and whatever all day and all night. So
yeah. Well, today's question is it's an interesting one, because a church plant is meeting on Sunday nights at 5 p.m. and they're trying to figure out how do they grow without losing that service. So before we hit the question, I just wanted to mention that this is the launch week of our Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. So you probably noticed at the top of the podcast a little bit of a different soundbite. The network, we have multiple podcasts that are a part of this family, and really the mission for this network is to serve the church in her mission of making disciples by providing and promoting podcasts that help grow believers in the local church. So be sure to check out some of the other podcasts that are connected into the network. But let's now listen to the question.
Hey, y'all. My name is Jasper. I am a pastor in Denver, Colorado. I pastor a church plant that's about 18 months old. And from the beginning, we've met on Sunday evening, Sundays at 5 p.m. And right now we're experiencing growth, but not as consistently as I think we could. We've actually lost some families and some young families because they've said that they want a morning worship service. And we don't want to abandon the community that we've built up at 5 p.m., but we want to figure out how we might think about growing and adding a Sunday morning worship experience as well. So how would you suggest someone go about thinking about adding and expanding and starting a new additional worship service? Thanks.
All right. What are some of your thoughts, Ed, on this?
Well, it's similar to added services mm-hmm. in general. And what happens is, and I've seen this kind of a lot, where there's a church that starts like geared towards young adults that don't have kids, and they start on Sunday night. I still remember this. This was kind of Sojourn's pattern in Louisville, Kentucky. Daniel Montgomery planted, and it's grown to thousands mm-hmm. today. But they started, and they thought they'd never have their Sunday morning service. They just had Sunday night. But then eventually what began to happen is soon, over time, the people started having kids and they wanted to go Sunday morning. And there's this gravitational pull towards Sunday morning. There's a very strong gravitational pull towards Sunday morning when you start having children and you're in Western culture. Mm-hmm. So what I would say is we have to recognize that. And you may want to get a group of people who are kind of pioneer types and who are going to send some people from Sunday night to Sunday morning and actually not, you know, make a big deal about it. You do a drum roll, send them out, and kind of plant a Sunday morning service that comes out of the Sunday night service. And you basically have two services, two key gathering points. They kind of take on their own life. People will tell you, probably long term, your Sunday morning service will probably have more people attending than your Sunday night service. That'll be normal. We don't know for sure, but that's kind of the model. That's kind of the more common pattern. But what's interesting, we go to Brazil. When if I preach at Cidade Viva in João Pessoa, you know, they have these two big Sunday night services and one smaller Sunday mm-hmm. night service. So it's not true everywhere around the world, but I'm guessing, and you know, I don't know his particular cultural context, but I'm guessing that he's in more of a Western English-speaking cultural context. So Sunday morning's probably going to be the draw.
Yeah, he is. I'm just looking up. I have his email here. So I'm just looking up where he is. But the Colorado. There we go. Denver, Colorado.
Yeah, I'm actually recording this in Colorado Springs. So I totally...
Nice. At the Garden of the Gods.
From the Garden of the Gods, but I'm at a hotel. I'm at the Outreach Summit. I just did some recording for Focus on the Family Radio and all book related stuff. Christians in the Age of Outrage.
Very good.
I should know my book, Doc. Christians in the Age of Outrage.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point in the sense that you really have to just think about it like you're adding another service. Now, typically when church plants or churches start and their services are in the morning, maybe at a 10 o'clock time, adding a service goes from, you know, going from one service at 10 to one at 11 and one at 9 o'clock, right? But the biggest difference here is that it is Sunday night, which is a different feel and a context than the morning. So I would recommend, Jasper, to even poll your church and have coffee conversations and connect with them and ask, okay, how many of you, if we started a Sunday morning service, would want to be a part of that? And just like you gathered a launch team and launched the church with a Sunday night service, I would approach that the same way, because there's not going to be, you're not going to be able to use the language where it's like attend one, serve one. You're not even really going to have to worry about, you don't have to worry about the whole idea of kind of that transition time between services. This really is another service. You can't really use the same volunteers either, because to ask a set of your worship volunteers to play and to set up and to serve at 10 a.m. and then have their day and then come back again at 5 is a lot to ask. So I would really consider it and think about it like another church plant or like another service in that respect.
Yeah. I think that's, to me, I'm thinking literally, not just kind of sort of like, I'm thinking literally, this is like starting a second service or a third service or whatever. So the proximity is not there. So one of the advantages of having two morning services, for example, is the flip-flopping ability of services. You know, you have people working one service and then worshiping the other service and vice versa. You can't really do that. But the opportunity here is great. And my guess is a lot of people are interested in Sunday morning service, and you'll find that out. The only challenge is we don't really know the numbers he had. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he said that, did he?
No, okay. He didn't.
So I do want to say, you don't want to lose your critical mass. You know, 100 people in our culture is pretty typical. If you can grow that thing to maybe 120, 130, 150 even, and then send 50 or so then to the morning service, that may be helpful.
No, that's good. That's good. And even as I'm looking at their website and looking, they have a great picture of their auditorium, and it looks a little shy of 100 people.
Okay.
So in light of that, yeah, I would agree with you, Ed, in the sense of if you right now start a Sunday morning service, just because you've lost a few families saying, hey, if you had a Sunday morning service, we would be there, to start a Sunday morning service as a reaction to that, when that might actually have your Sunday night service, and instead of 100 people, you then have 50 people or 40 people, that's going to be really hard to sustain.
Yeah, I think that's true. And that's the key. If the two of them, ironically, you've got the Sunday night, I'm already moving, but ironically, the Sunday morning is probably going to have more of the gravitational pull. So you'll be able to sustain, I think it's part of what he's saying, and it makes sense. Will he be able to sustain Sunday night? I don't know, but you have to focus on that. Sunday morning is probably be the greater pull.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Now, Ed, in light of, you know, since we're talking about different service times, I remember talking to this church in Australia where they're meeting in the evenings. They're actually thinking about doing like a Thursday night service as well, in addition to their Sunday ones, their Sunday morning and Sunday evening. What are your opinions on a Thursday night or a midweek type of service? It is like a weekend worship service.
Yeah. So I've got some theological questions. I don't know, a rise level of concerns.
Okay.
But I do think that churches, you know, like Northland Church down in Orlando, they grow so much on, you know, first they had Sunday morning, then Sunday night, then Saturday night, and eventually they went to Monday night service, which is basically a repeat of their other weekend services. So that's kind of different. Sometimes places have odd shifts and hours and service times. So that could be part of it. People have odd work shifts, and you can have a service time on a Friday night or whatever. But I'm not... My preference is that we might worship on the Lord's Day and we can Sunday, mainly focus. You want to go Saturday night, you can say that's a Jewish Sabbath, I guess. But my preference is that, because that was the normative practice in the first church, they, in the first day of the week, they gathered together. That was the pattern in the New Testament. So I prefer that. Are there exceptions to that? Sure. Am I going to make it normative? Probably not. I'm not saying it's not like the mark of a biblical church to meet on the Lord's Day, but I'm saying that's normative practice. And I think setting aside Sunday's Lord's Day is a good thing.
Yeah, the other thing to consider is the more you add services that are not really close together in time, the more it's actually going to be, like, the greater the toll is going to be, there's going to be on you as the pastor. Not only is it difficult volunteer wise to now have two separate worship teams, two separate kids ministry teams, guest services teams, and all that stuff, but for you to even think, okay, if you're going to be preaching and leading Sunday morning, and then what do you do during the rest of the day? Is it family time? And then your family time is interrupted for a Sunday night service. How is that going to feel even in the rhythm of your day? Do you consider that, you know, is in the afternoon, do you do meetings? I mean, what does that really look like for your family as well? So that's something really to consider. I don't think because you have momentum, because you have a venue, and because you are, you know, because you've really launched with the Sunday night, I wouldn't stop the Sunday night and just go to the morning because you have the opportunity to. What are your thoughts on that, Ed?
Yeah.
Like, would you, in what instance would you recommend that a church says, hey, because he doesn't have critical mass yet. So in what instance would you say, okay, you know what, actually, instead of doing a Sunday morning and a Sunday night, stop the Sunday night and go to Sunday morning?
Typically that's what you would do.
Yeah. So the majority of the time, is that what you would recommend then?
You have kind of private worship and then you go to Sunday mornings. That's not uncommon. They've already created that an outlier by saying they wanted to keep this Sunday night viable. So that's the outlier. If you want to keep Sunday night viable, that's his question. If his question is what's best, it's probably best to move Sunday morning and the whole thing. That's what church plants do. They meet Sunday morning, meet Sunday morning, move to Sunday night. I'm saying it wrong, but there's probably reasons he's keeping it Sunday night when normally he would just move it to Sunday morning. Typically, Sunday night's what you do when you're not a real church, and you move to Sunday morning when you're a real church. That's what
In North America, definitely. Yeah, especially and hey, he has a building, so that's great. I mean, if he was portable, then people would be like, well, I don't know if I want to go to a church that's portable. Are they going to last? Are they not going to last? But he doesn't have to face that. Right, because he is in a church building, like he does have a venue that he's worshiping in. So it's a fascinating thing to think through. Yeah. So any last thoughts here, Ed?
I think what you described is he's worship service size. He's going to need services Sunday morning, Sunday night anyway. So maybe two Sunday morning and one Sunday night is eventually where they'll be. But I would say that, when you lose families, that's hard. But don't base your strategy on that, because everyone who may have wanted a Sunday morning service may have left already. But see if there are some people, talk to them, launch out from there, and I think both could be viable.
That's good. Well, we do have research on venues and on what the state of church planning is and what multiplication looks like in all of that. So if you text new churches to 888-111, so that's 888-111, we'll actually send you 5 ebooks and research reports on all of this. So once again, that's new churches to 888-111. Yeah.
So what is that? So we have a phone number? People say
we do. It's texting new churches. So we're new churches to 888-111.
How come I don't know about these things? It's not coming to my phone, is it?
It's not coming to your phone. We're actually just launching it. So that's why it's the first time you're hearing about it. All right. Well, before we end off our podcast,
I'm the last one to know. I don't know anything.
Well, before we end off our podcast, we do want to recommend that you check out the new podcast by J.D. Greer. It's called Ask Me Anything, Honest Questions, Quick Answers. On this podcast, J.D. Greer and Todd Unzicker will provide you with honest answers to theological, ethical, and leadership questions. So their first 3 episodes, and they're launching this week. Number 1 is, Pastor J.D., are you a Calvinist? Episode 2 is, should Christians celebrate Halloween, and episode 3 is, how should Christians think about politics today? So just look up Ask Me Anything, J.D. Greer, on any of your podcasting apps, and you will find it. Well, thanks again for listening in, and we will catch you next time.